Are you ready to have some fantastic Bible teaching? Are you ready to really enjoy the scriptures this morning? All right. You have a real treat for you this morning. One of my best friends for 30 years is also one of the finest Bible teachers in the body of Christ, and we have the privilege of having him here with us. And so we're going to have Pastor Carl come and preach this morning. Do you know what kind of a miracle it is to have him here this morning? What was it, just 3 weeks ago that he had major surgery? And so we received the gifting that God has brought us through this man. So we're glad you're here. Thank you, Jesus, that he's here.
Thank you. Well, I trust I'll make it. Well, I don't know if God has a sense of humor or not, but certainly.
Oh, yes, he does.
But I do, and thanks to Jeannie, she's going to keep me smiling for months, because I happen to have higher than normal blood sugars.
Well, you know, he loved you. That's the reason I'm here.
Yeah. My brother, not the pastor brother, but the other brother, sent these to me just last night, believe it or not. And some of them are, take a bit of thought. Don't let your worries get the best of you. Remember, Moses started out as a basket case. Some people are kind, polite, and sweet-spirited until you try to sit in their pew. Many people want to serve God, but only as advisors. God didn't create anything without a purpose, but mosquitoes come close. People are funny. They want the front of the bus, the middle of the road, and the back of the church. Quit griping about your church. If it was perfect, you couldn't belong. If a church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. Some minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed up and permanently set. I don't know why some people change churches. What difference does it make which one you stay home from? A lot of church members who are singing Standing on the Promises are just sitting on the premises. We are called to be witnesses, not lawyers or judges. Be ye fishers of men. You catch him, he'll clean him. Coincidence is when God chooses to be anonymous. Don't wait for six strong men to take you to church. Pallbearers. I can see the blank expression. See, that's tunnel brilliance. We're all awed by this man all the time, but we got by him on that one. Forbidden fruits create many jams. Some of these are just so powerful. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God grades on the cross, not the curve. God promised a safe landing, not a calm passage. If God is your co-pilot, swap seats. We've all seen those bumper stickers, you know. Prayer. Don't give God instructions. Just report for duty. Some of these are so appropriate to today's message. I just can't believe it. The task ahead of us is never as great as the power behind us. We don't change the message. the message changes us. And I say that because I'm more a teacher than a preacher. I don't like to leave the security of my notes. And I like to use the scripture extensively. And God started me on this thought probably several weeks ago now. And he's developed it not only from its original thought, but I hope today not only to help you with a practical sense of Christian living, but also with a refreshing of God's plan for us as his church, God's plan for this earth, what it's all about, why we're here. And so that's why I asked Pastor Kevin to sing Lift Your Vision Higher. We know it's based on a verse in Proverbs, I believe it is. But it's not exactly in there. It's without a progressive vision, we dwell carelessly. And so it is. If we don't keep our minds on or don't know what God's vision is for us, then indeed we do begin to get a little bit casual about remembering why we're here. So the original title, and so I'll stick with it, of today's message is The Body's Strongest Part. And I hope you write down scriptures, because we don't distribute notes with scriptures on them, or at least addresses. Matthew 18, verses 6 through 9, and this is a familiar scripture, I'm sure, to you. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, a little one meaning a young believer, a new believer, it would be better for him, meaning the one who causes the person to have a problem or to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's kind of a strong warning about not causing somebody to stumble. But then the next verse, it says, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. Folks, you're not going to get to live a life in which you don't have the opportunity to be offended.
Yes,
becoming a Christian doesn't mean nobody gets your goat anymore. In fact, it may mean more so. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off for causing the offense and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life, meaning ultimate eternal life, lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. In other words, keep your priorities straight. It's better to go to heaven with one foot or one hand than to go to hell with both of them. Your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. And besides, we're going to be restored and have all our good party parts functioning again anyway. Get back what we lost. In Matthew 5:23-24, it says, if you bring your gift to the altar, meaning your offering to church, and then remember that your brother has something against you, somebody has an ought against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, get right with your brother before you present your offering to the Lord. And further it's saying, if you know someone has something against you or an ought against you, go to them. If you know about it, even though they're the one with the problem, go to them. But then it also says in Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. In other words, get it straightened out.
Right.
Go to him first. So it doesn't make any difference if you got the ought or they got the ought. If there's an ought, get it fixed.
That's right.
And in fact, the communion service is very, very strong. You cannot take communion if you have an ought against someone or someone has an ought against you. The Bible warns you very strongly about taking communion undeservedly. That was serious stuff.
Yeah.
Now, we often don't like to pretend some of this serious stuff is in here, because we like to be jolly good fellows who go to church and add that to our curriculum vitae and are well known amongst our fellow man and particularly our fellow church members, but we have our little problems. But God says, get them taken care of. So back to the body parts. What's the strongest body part? The hand? The foot? The eye? Any takers? The tongue. James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. And so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue, the effective instrument in every church split and every unsupported fat pastor. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. For if we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Now that word deadly and cursing, that's thanatephoros. Now I remember way back in high school, in a brief exposing an English class to poetry, we had a poem called Thanatopsis. I think that was my first awareness of a Greek word, or a Greek root at least. And it was about death, and of course it was imagery as poetry is. And of course it was as a farm boy who understood reality but didn't know much about imagery, it was a very hard experience for me to understand the imagery in writing. Of course, now I'm in the Bible and I have types and shadows and all kinds of stuff all the time, and everything is, not everything, but much of it is metaphor. Death-bearing, thanatophoros. Death-bearing, deadly. Full of deadly poison, with it we curse men.
Wow.
And yet we can stand and sing praises to God. What are a few wrongful uses of the tongue? And I'm not going to dwell on these a lot, because I think we don't need a whole lot of putting the knife in and twisting it for us to identify with what the scripture says. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:20, "For I'm afraid that when I come to you, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling." Really? In the church? Jealousy? Outbursts of anger? No. Not at door of grace. Selfishness? Backstabbing? Now, I think the King James says backbiting. Backbiting I like, because backbiting is done by backsliders to produce more backsliders. But backstabbing, gossip. Well, I was just sharing so that they could pray. Right. Conceit. Disorderly behavior. I'm afraid I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. Why, Paul, I thought you were such a nice guy. And he writes in Philippians 2:14 and 15, "Everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them." Stay away from complaining and arguing. In the King James, that word is murmuring. In Philippians 1 Corinthians 10, 9 and 10. The context, he's talking about the journey out of Egypt of the children of Israel. And he says, let us not become idolaters. And let us not commit sexual immorality. And then he says, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as servants. Let us nor complain as some of them also complained. And again, the King James word is murmured. Murmured. Such a dark word, isn't it? Murmured. It's almost like nosing in under the tent, you know, murmuring. But what happened to them for murmuring, for complaining? They were destroyed by the destroyer. And in Exodus 12, we know who the destroyer was. The destroying angel sent by God to kill. Let's not do that. Let's not use our tongue in a wrong way. James 1:26 says, if you came to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're just fooling yourself. Very, very good admonition, because you're not fooling anyone else. You're just fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. But remember what the Pharisee says, but look at how often I prayed, and look at how much money I put in the offering, and look at what all I did. But if you can't control your tongue, your religion is worthless. Yeah. Ouch. Well, let's move right along to a few rightful uses. Prayer. Prayer. I found this cup out in the kitchen. I had to bring this in. Dear God, let me tell you my side of this. And I, folks, I got news for you. Prayer is for God to tell you his side of this. He already knows what your side of it is. He wants to tell you what his side of it is. And I'm not going to, you know, do a message on prayer or message on praise, except we are to shout unto God. Yeah, yeah. You know, worship, sing a new song, all those good things. Speak in other tongues, for he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And I've had people tell me, well, that's so selfish. And yet I have yet to meet a Christian who is so strong in God, he didn't need to be built up a little.
Yeah,
maybe build up a lot. And so Paul says, build yourself up in the Lord. Get strong in the Spirit. Speak in your prayer language. Strengthen yourself. Be built up. And when you are built up, then you can prophesy and edify the church. Same chapter, verse 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brother, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? In other words, operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Make a contribution to the service.
Right.
Let all things be done unto edifying.
Yes.
What for? So to not only build, be built up yourself when you go to church, but to build others up. Wow. And no one will question that 1 Corinthians 14 is written to the church for behavior in the church. So, let all things be done unto edifying. Another good purpose, use of the tongue. Galatians 6:2, share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way. Now, that doesn't mean share them with other people. That means when someone has a problem, you help them carry the load. That's what it means to carry another burden, is to help them carry the load. What's the law of Christ? To love one another. Yeah. Loving Jesus and loving each other. By the way, intercession is great burden sharing.
That's right.
Great burden sharing. Another form of prayer, of course. What's the best form of burden sharing? between you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Cast all your care upon him. Give him all your anxieties. We used to say back in the 8 days of the early charismatic movement, put it on the altar and then leave it there. You know, we just put it on and then take it back and walk away with it, you know. It doesn't do any good. But that's what it means. Let him share your burden. Let him share your burden. Now, last week, Pastor Sherry used a scripture and an overhead. And the bottom part of that overhead, which our dear daughter Tammy was so kind to draw. Of course, the light was to be an expression of revelation. And that's what it was for me. When I looked at it, I realized, yeah, of course, that's a good metaphor or image to help us understand the spirit of revelation. However, my spirit of revelation at that moment was in the concept of exchanging burden. Because she said, all you who are who labor and are heavy laden, got a heavy burden, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we give him our burdens, and we take from him his burden. Now, what's he carrying? And so I'm doing a bit of a play on words here. Maybe. What is he carrying?
The light.
He's the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That means we're carrying a light. There used to be, still is, a song, This Little Light of Mine. And in our church, I says, that's so disgusting. That's so pathetic. That is so insulting to God. This great big light of mine. Right? This great big light of mine. Pick up his burden. What's he carrying? He's carrying the light. Let us pick up the light and carry the light. Is this scriptural? Well, we know he's the light of the world, but my golly. He says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. So we're to be burden sharers with him. Give him all our cares and anxieties and pick up the light. Mm-hmm. And what happens when we pick up the light? Changes our countenance.
Yeah.
I don't remember a young lady, her name, but this young lady walked in the room this morning and I said, my gosh, you look so bright this morning. And I mean, it was all around her. Talk about glowing. It was incredible. Beautiful to see. We pick up that light when we're with the Lord. So, what is God's grand vision for you and me as Christians? Why would he send his son, to take away our sins? That means to make us sinless. Now, a lot of Christians have trouble with that. Didn't he send his son to take away your sins and thereby make you sinless? Well, I'm not very sinless. You see, we confuse the provision and the vision and the purpose with our appropriation and application and expression. Now, it's true. We don't do as good a job as we ought. Used in a different word, meaning, as we should, of appropriation and application and expression. But that in no way takes away from God's intent and effectiveness to make us sinless. Just like his son was sinless. Now we got to understand that's God's plan. We cannot live as though the truth of God's word was our effective living. We have to live as though the truth of what God's word is the truth. And that's what God's word tells us, is that God sent his son to make us sinless. And if that's not enough, then he sent his spirit to fill us, to overflowing, and empower us to be the expression of his divinity to this earth. Wow. A whole bunch of Christians, little Christs, oh my, scary term, running around, made sinless, filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit of the living God himself, to run around and be the expression of his divinity to this earth. Are we doing it? No. Does that mean God's got a poor plan?
No.
His power was inadequate?
No.
Our failure to fully appropriate and apply and express is the problem. And it's usually because we either don't have the vision, or we forget the vision, or we replace the vision with our own actions. That's why I'm talking to you this morning. I want to refresh the vision. I want to lift your vision higher again, hopefully. I hope this isn't the first time this was your vision. It may be, but if it's not, if it is, fine. If it isn't, let it be refreshed. Because I didn't say you're the light of the world. Jesus said it. I didn't say go around and live as Christians so that men may glorify God. He said it. Why? What was that verse? For God is working in your neighbor. God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Well, I can't. I try, but I just can't. Quit trying. Let him do it in you and through you. See, quit saying, let me tell you my side. He wants to tell you his side.
Yeah, that's right.
His side is, hey, I'm in you. I'm filling you. I'm giving you the desire to please me. I'm giving you the power to express it. Wow. Paul is quoted this, or I've heard this said of Paul, or somebody. God never asks you or expects anything from you that he doesn't give you the capability of doing. In fact, one of the things I read is, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. All right, you're called to be the light of the world. Then he's going to qualify you to be the light of the world. How? Making you sinless, filling you with his spirit, empowering you to be his expression of his divinity. That's a lofty vision. There's no time for complaining in that vision, is there? Our only expression can be, oh Lord, let me appropriate and apply and express more of what you have for me to be. So that The lens over my light isn't all covered with road mud. We used to take long road trips sometimes. One time we were driving straight through to, I don't know, L.A. or someplace from Pullman, and we were going over the Oregon Mountain Passes, and we stopped in Bend to get gas, and two or three of the guys jumped out to clean the windshield because, of course, with the sleet from the winter, it was just filthy. And so they all did the windshield, jumped back in inside, and I said, anybody clean the headlights? What do you mean clean the headlights? Well, go out and look at the headlights. Well, any of you who've ever driven in winter sleet know what can happen to headlights. Is the light inside the headlight any less bright?
No.
But how much of it's getting to the road?
Good illustration.
See? 1 Corinthians 13 talks us being about us being a mirror. I like to think of it with that illustration as us being a lens, not a mirror. God is in us, seeking to shine forth with the fullness of his brightness. If we'll just clean some of the muck off the lens and let it shine through. Amen. So now, for the last 15 years, there's a standing joke in the church. Anybody who rides with Pastor Carl better plan on cleaning the headlights. Even if it's August.
On the brightest days, we're out there watching headlights.
You better believe it. But you see, the problem's not his light.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem is our expressing of his light.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's a mirror or a lens. That's not really the issue. The issue is our appropriating and applying and expressing the light that's within us to be expressed.
Right.
Now, a lot of people, we sang these songs about glory. You couldn't have picked better songs this morning. That was great. A lot of us are waiting to die to go to heaven in order to see the glory of the Lord. Good luck. Because as I read the scriptures, Jesus is waiting for us to transform earth so he can come back to it. Now, I know we're getting into eschatology, study of the end times and all of that.
Good stuff.
But we've got a job to do. And Jesus wants to come back to a perfect church. That's pretty clear. He wants to rule and reign over a church that's done his job. And that's why it's so important for us to, what is it, Titus or someplace that says, clean up the house of God first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See? What is it? The world out there is watching the church like mad. They sure are. And anytime anybody in any church or any church has problems, do they know about it? Well, you're not as great as you think you are. Look at the problems you're having in that church. Why are there so many denominations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, because we haven't done our job. That's why. That's why escape doctrine is so popular. Let me out of this mess. I want to just believe and go with Jesus where everything is fine. Well, of course that's popular doctrine. Aren't we by nature escapists? We want to get away from our problems. We all want a easier, better, nicer life. We all want everything wonderful. No pain. Wouldn't that be nice? I always think it's so funny. We are so frustrated with doctors and what they do to us sometimes. But boy, we're sure happy to have them. And I find it so highly ironic that Paul and all his problems traveled with a personal full-time doctor. Well, back to the vision. So we're talking about a little organ and what that role has to play in our daily walks, but in the grand scheme for the Church of Jesus Christ, of which we are individual parts. God is working in us, giving us the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. Just a few supportive scriptures. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, I'm not talking Carl's special interpretation here. These are all songs we've sung and scriptures we know. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If we're a new creation with God living in us, do you realize in order to backbite your brother or sister, you have to fight the Spirit of God within you, overcome and suppress it, have victory over it in order to badmouth somebody? But it seems so easy. But think about it. If Christ is in you, if He's the power at work within you to want you to be good and do good and live good and express good, and you do something not good, you've had to suppress. You've had to be stronger in ungodliness than the Spirit of God in you is. You had to win a fight. That's why so many Christians are miserable Christians. Because they're always fighting God. They're always fighting God. Who were the happy, glowing Christians? Well, I just prayed for such and such, and they were healed. Yeah. I got to talk to somebody, and they came to the Lord. Or I was able to help somebody do such and such. And boy, were they relieved. Things were so much better. Edification. Let those things that happen while you're in the middle of a worship service be done for edifying. Oh, no, no. What about the other 167 hours a week? Let all things be done unto edifying. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we want to see the glory of the Lord, then we got to let the Christ in us out so He can be expressed. Clean that lens, folks. Amen. That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. God calls us. He cleans us and qualifies us along the way, but He calls us. We want to see the glory of God. Let's start appropriating and applying and expressing that which He's already put within us. We run around saying, oh God, give me, Lord. Give me more faith. Give me more love. Give me more this. Give me more that. And He says, well, what are you doing with what I already gave you? I mean, I filled you. What more do you want? Oh Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. God says, got no more. Use what I gave you. Start with the tongue, most powerful organ. So, let us not only use our strongest body part, but our entire beings to be expressors of Christ and always give glory to God. And then not only us, but everybody else on this earth will see the glory of the Lord. Pastor Kevin.
Well, let me ask you a question this morning. Was that negative vision? Was that positive vision? So we call that learning about his provision. Then we learn about the provision of the Lord this morning. Who's inside of you? Who's inside of you? I'm sorry, what's his name? Thank you, sweetie. I knew I'd come to church this morning. Turn to each other and say, Jesus is inside of you. Fantastic provision. Excellent message. Thank you very much. Fantastic. Let's stand before the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are indeed the God of all glory. Lord, you're the one who wants to lift our vision and show us our provision. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us what we need to walk this life, to tame the tongue and express your life. And Father, we do surrender to the bridle and to the harness in our own lives. We yield our tongue to praise. We yield our tongue to giving glory. We yield our tongues to giving expression of the life of Jesus. And our lives follow suit. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning that's so good and clean in dealing with who we are on the inside to let you out on the outside. We worship you, Lord, and we adore you. It's been good to be in your house this morning. It's edifying to be in the house of God. And Jesus, today we get to leave being more like you. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I invite you to come. God commands you to come, but I invite you to come. Let me pray with you so that you can surrender fully to Jesus. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you know there's an area that you need to yield and surrender to him, it would be an honor to pray with you after the service as we close. Come on up. If you need healing in your body, we believe in physical healing. God is a gracious and good God who deals with us in conviction. Anybody here convicted about anything this morning? Okay. But you see, that's the gift of God. That's the gift of God. He only brings conviction where the Spirit wants to change us. Didn't we pray as we began, Lord, make me more like you? We got some good insight in it this morning, didn't we? It's been good to come to the house of God. Let's lift our vision high again.